Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Mike Menzies is here, too, because otherwise this next half hour wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Mike's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the resident banker in our Brain Trust. He's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Eastern Maryland. He's our good friend. Mike Menzies, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you always.
It's good to have you back. Folks, let me read a little fairy tale to you. Once upon a time, you could present a check for payment with the knowledge that it would float as it made the journey through the banking system. The float was the time, typically days, that you had to use the money before the check was presented for payment at your bank. Well, Mike, that was a nice trip down memory lane, wasn't it?
You're dating yourself, Jim.
Officially, now that little float has been getting smaller and smaller. The triple of that check as it makes its way through the banking system has been getting shorter and shorter over the years. But as of this week, Mike, it's going to go away for the most part, isn't it? That there's not going to be a trip for that check.
Well, remember a couple things before I answer that question, Jim. Remember that float is a word that has been used in banking for many, many years.
Yeah.
It began when they would say, if you don't make your payments on your loan, you're going to be floating down the river.
Right.
but float obviously describes the phenomena of giving somebody a check and waiting for that someone to take it back to their office, if that's what it is, and then give it to their bookkeeper and have the bookkeeper post that check and then have the bookkeeper take the check to the bank after preparing the deposit ticket.
Getting around to doing that today or tomorrow or whenever.
Yeah. Getting around to doing it and then giving it to the bank. And then there was a bank float piece, meaning the bank had to process the check and physically present the check to the payee bank, whoever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And that could take anywhere from a day to 2 or 3 days, depending upon where the check went.
Years ago, it could take a week.
Yeah, or more. Or, you know, you could write a check on a no-par bank in Nevada, and it would take a month. So float, yes, float is going to be reduced. There's no question about it. But some elements of float will probably remain in the system. So there'll be some grace. And Check 21, which stands for 21st Century Checking, Check 21 will not eliminate float instantly. On October the 28th, all float will not disappear. But it will, in fact, reduce float, and it will begin the migration from moving paper as a way of proving your claim on your checking account to moving electronic transactions and images and having it occur almost instantly.
Right.
But it'll take a couple of years to get there. We've still got lots of businesses and banks that need to or will ramp up their technology so they can communicate digitally rather than communicate using paper.
The U.S. banking system, ladies and gentlemen, and I wrote about this about a month ago, the U.S. banking system physically transports 100 million checks every day. Mike, that's a stat that I'm sure you knew. 100 million checks every day physically. And so the Check Clearing for the 21st Century Act, which was passed about a year ago, was a result of the banking system feeling pretty vulnerable after 9-1-1, Mike. The banking system said, you know what? We got to quit depending upon airlines to clear our checks. And they,
yeah, absolutely. That was part of the excuse, if you will. There's no doubt about that.
That's their story, and they're sticking to it.
That's right. That's the story. We're sticking to it. Even before 9/11, banks began to do something called imaging, where they would, instead of sending the paper check back to their customer from the bank, they were still getting the paper check in the bank and still putting your checks in a pocket or a bucket that were your checks that, that they could send back to you. They began to image those checks. They'd capture them as an image, and then they'd send you back pictures of the checks or images rather than the physical check. That was part of the beginning of this whole process, is the industry realized that they could save a bucket of money by not putting all those checks in the mail. Now, that has migrated to the risk mitigation you referred to, which is to not have to put them on airlines anymore, and the fact that we ought to be able to send images back and forth between banks.
Right.
Hold
on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about what all this means to your small business and also to you as a consumer. It is going to have an impact, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being part of our day, and I'm glad Mike Menzies is here, too. He's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust, and we're talking about the death of float, which is what I call it, and the final nail in the coffin of float, because, folks, with Check 21 going into effect officially the 28th of October, things will change for you. And Mike, I thought maybe we'd talk for a minute about how things will change as a consumer. In the old days, meaning like day before yesterday, you could go shopping on Friday at lunch, and then write some checks, pay your utility bill, pay your cable bill, whatever, and get paid at 4 o'clock that afternoon. And then make your deposit by 5:30, and you were in good shape. Maybe even by Monday, and you were in good shape. But today, I should say, for those vendors, those merchants who have Check 21 technology, that's going to change, isn't it?
Well, yes, there will be those changes. And
tell us what that's going to look like. What's going to look like when we walk up to that merchant who has Check 21 capability.
Well, the change to the consumer, very simply, will be that that their checks will be posted to their accounts faster, and that means that the business of borrowing money from the bank, because the bank doesn't know you've borrowed money, the bank doesn't know you've written a check and given it to somebody, will be reduced dramatically, because those checks will clear. Now, there is some legitimate and understandable confusion here, because there's a process which is called electronic check conversion, which is different from the process of substitute checks. Check 21 has to do with substitute checks.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do with a bank receiving a check and turning it into an image and sending it to another bank as an image.
And the Check 21 Act gave rise to a substitute check, didn't it?
That's correct, and that's what it was about. It said that that the Bank of America, for example, can receive an Eastern Bank and Trust check that one of its customers obtains and send to us an image of that check and not forward the physical check. And we can take that image and give it back to our customer, and it's a legally enforceable substitute image, period. You can use it for tax purposes, et cetera. And that's what Check 21 was about. Now, prior to the law being affected, there still were events that have been authorized. One is electronic check conversion, where you go into Walmart and you give Walmart your check, and they take that check and they stick it in their register, and they void it and give it back to you, and they convert that check into what's called an ACH file or an electronic file, and they go hit your checking account an hour later. Okay?
Sometimes it's immediate.
I've seen it where they
drew on it immediately.
Right. So what this environment creates is the reality that when you write a check, just as if you're giving a debit card to somebody, you have given them immediate access to your checking account. Now, that may or may not occur immediately, but legally, that's always been the case. Mm-hmm. It's just that the banking industry is catching up to it technology-wise. Legally, when Jim gives Mike his check, Jim is saying, that money is in my account, mm-hmm. and you may get in your car and drive over to my bank and present that check and take the money, even if it only takes you 60 seconds to get to my bank.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going down right now. The banking industry is getting to the point where it can, in fact, move those monies instantly. Now, it'll take several years for that to occur. For merchants to be able to take a check, for example, stick it in the machine, capture the image, and just send the image.
Well, because you're talking about because of the expense of the technology?
Because of the expense of the technology, mm-hmm. the expense of the equipment, et cetera.
But the larger the company, the larger the vendor, Mike, it seems to me the more likely they are to have this capability.
Absolutely.
And my point is mm-hmm. for small business owners where we used to send, when we're working on such thin cash flows, fragile cash flows, we would mail a check to a bank knowing that we had receipts coming in. I mean, not to a bank, but to a vendor, knowing
right.
that we had receipts coming in to cover that. But in the future, you may not know that that vendor you send that check to may be processing it at their office. They may not even wait till they make a deposit. The moment the mail runs, within minutes after the mail runs, they may be presenting your check for collected funds in their office.
This is true. Take it to the end of the line. At the end of the line, conceptually at least, whether this occurs or not is something else, payments, both received, meaning deposits that you're making into a bank, and made, checks that you've given to someone, theoretically, all payments could be instant and electronic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, theoretically, you could have the mini check reader in your suit jacket, and you stick the check reader in your suit jacket, and it's transported by cell phone instantly to your bank, and it instantly goes from their account into your account. Theoretically, that could occur someday, and we are a ways away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to that end of the scale, what does it really do? Well, those entities, businesses or individuals, who are borrowing money because of float or whose receipts don't come in as fast as their expenditures, they're on the negative side of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the inverse is true. Those whose receipts come in faster are on the positive side of this.
Right. Now, when we come back, Mike, I want you to tell us how banks are working with their small business customers to help them deal with this change. And Mike's, I know his organization is doing this, and he's going to give us some good information, folks, that you and I need to deal with Check 21. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's with Easton Bank and Trust out of Easton, Maryland. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike's bank is an independent community bank, and there are thousands of them all over the country. And you know what I've said before, if you're a small business owner, you need to have more than one banking relationship. You need to have at least two banks that you do business with, and one of them, this is the world according to Blasingame, folks, one of them must be an independent community bank, in my opinion. And Mike, on behalf of my small business owners, for all the things that you and your other independent community banks do for small business, we thank you.
Well, it's our honor, absolutely.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If it weren't for an independent community bank, I would not be standing here doing what I'm doing today. It would not have been possible.
Hmm.
And I'll never forget that. And we'll never stop telling people about it. We're talking about Check 21. By the way, Mike, give us your website. We need to know what an independent community bank website looks like.
It's www.eastonbankandtrust.com.
And I take a little personal pride in that website, too, by the way.
I know. I'm going to bill you for it.
I know. Mike, let's talk some more about this Check 21 thing. One of the things that I wanted to point out is that, think about this, folks, as merchants take your check, record it, take a, you know, take an electronic image of it, make an electronic image of it, and give you back your check, more and more people are going to say, well, if you're just going to do that, why don't I just give you my debit card? Why do I write a check out? And so the more that happens, the more people are not going to come to you with a check to buy your stuff. They're going to bring a debit card or a credit card for you to swipe. So, Mike, I've been telling small business owners for now for a couple of months at least, make sure that you have that capability, because if you don't, you're going to ultimately lose some business. And that's not expensive technology, and it is technology that's readily available right now from your bank and from their vendors, isn't it?
I think that's good advice, Jim, that that small businesses and merchants should understand what's going on with respect to the payment systems, go sit down with their community banks and find out how they can participate in it, not just be caught by it. The other advice is, if you're a small business, we don't yet know, and the small business doesn't yet know, how this float business will alter their availability of funds. So get ahead of the curve. Go in, sit down with a banker, and have some understandings. Understanding number one is, if I happen to have an uncollected funds position, you're not going to just bounce all my checks. And that happens all the time.
Right.
Number two, if I need a little bit of extra cash, I've got a line of credit, or I've got a facility available to back me up. Number three, you're going to give me a call if I happen to be overdrawn, and I've never been overdrawn before, or I have an uncollected funds position, instead of sending my checks back. But it's a great opportunity for small businesses to go in and sit down with their banker and say, okay, what's up? How's it going to influence me, and what are we going to do about it so that it benefits us together rather
right.
than just overdraft fees,
which
will
folks,
be a phenomenon.
It will be. And folks, here's the thing. If all the things that Mike and I have said, if you heard me talk about this on the show before, if you've read my column about this, you've read other people, what they've written about it, if you still are confused, and don't, it's understandable, just make an appointment with your banker and go talk to them and say, look, I've been hearing some crazy people on the radio tell me about Check 21. Tell me about it. How's it going to impact our relationship? And what can your bank do to help me deal with this?
Absolutely. And I believe that over the 2 to 3 year period of time, Check 21 and laws associated with it will reduce the cost of banking. And therefore, it should reduce the cost to the consumer, assuming banks remain competitive.
But that's the only problem, though. In this law, they should have made it where banks have to pass that on through to their consumers. But there's no, Mike, not to try to cut into your margins there, but this is definitely going to be a profit improvement for banks, isn't it?
Yes, maybe so and maybe not. Remember that we've got 8,000 some banks competing for your business
right.
In this world. And as long as there's a free and open competitive market, banks aren't going to just knock up their profit margins. They're going to have to compete for business.
But I will say this, Mike. It's a good time to buy bank stocks, I think.
Oh, it's a good time to buy bank stocks all the time.
All the time, isn't it? Hey, Mike, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. It's always a pleasure. You gave us some good advice, and we appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, James.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen, with the Easton Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a little bit with Jim Ballard and Ray Keating.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.